as I want to continue to preach in your hearing in the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 612, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 979, since January the 1st, 2016. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You're going to go over the pond, I'm willing to go with you. I see you getting your grip, so I'm ready to go whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Everybody who wants to be a disciple is not a disciple, and many will never be, unfortunately. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus that we read about in your holy gospels, your holy word. We know that he is there with you, sitting at your right hand on the throne of the universe, and we know that he is here with us because he said he would. Where two or three are gathered together, he would be in the midst. And Holy Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Lord, even though we may not be able to feel it all of the time, in the way that we would like, we know by faith you are here and that you're there. And that all power and might is in your hands. We need no further proof. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers down through the years and being there and here for us, interceding for us, blessing us with your presence down through the years. And Lord, as you know, we're living in dark days, perilous times. And we pray for your continued strength, your continued presence. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, particularly those who are saved. Forgive us of our sins and our failures. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all. And fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Restore us again, renew us again, revive us all again. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves. As we preach about none other than your Holy Son, our Holy Savior, Jesus Christ, lift him up and open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears across this country and around the globe by any means that you see fit. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this time together around your holy word, and thank you, Lord, for allowing this poor preacher to do this thousands of times down through the years. And I pray that your holy name will be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified at the blood of Jesus Christ and at the name of Jesus Christ. Surround us and wrap us up with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, and protect us, for Lord, contrary to what we think, we cannot protect ourselves. Place upon us the whole arm of God and help us to use your holy word and the weapon of prayer, whether we feel like it or not. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I am going to attempt to preach in your hearing a simple message titled, The Story of Jesus and the Would-Be Disciples, the Wannabe Disciples, Part 4. We began this mini-series in a series on Jesus and the wannabe disciples, with the Lord withdrawing himself from the oncoming crowds and giving the command to depart unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee. While that may sound like a simple command, the actual process of getting a boat ready to sail could take some time, as those of you who like to fish. So while Peter and the other disciples prepared the boat for their departure, we can imagine some of the crowd catching up with Jesus on the shore. Among those people would have been the scribe and the man who wanted to bury his father. Both of these individuals saw that Jesus was about to depart and choose, and rather they went and took this time to deliver, if you will, their best shot, and use their best elevator speech or presentation and show of devotion to him. Jesus' response to both of these men revealed that while perhaps they had somewhat good intentions, they were not ready to completely follow him. They were not ready to completely follow Jesus. Jesus knew that there would be few people willing to follow a leader if it meant not knowing where they would lay their head to sleep each night, or if it meant possibly cutting off ties with close family members. In contrast to the would-be disciples, the wannabe disciples, verse 23 concludes this segment of the chapter with the statement, when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples, that is the 12, followed him. Most leaders would have jumped at the chance to grow their number of followers, their church members, but Jesus was content to continue on with the 12 he had chosen for now. If the other two men were indeed ready to follow Jesus, they would have been ready to drop what they were doing and follow Jesus into the ship. They just did not understand who Jesus was. They did not understand that Jesus Christ was and is Emmanuel, God Almighty with us. They didn't get it like Matthew. They didn't get it like the other disciples. They would have been ready to drop what they were doing and follow Jesus into the ship, ready to go. It's now or never. Wherever he might lead them, whether they had a bed to sleep in, whether they had a sleeping bag, or whatever. The 12 didn't know where they might end up when they chose to follow Jesus. When Jesus came to them as they were fishing or tax collecting or sitting under a tree, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have been truly born again, you have truly been saved, you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you know how it was when you first got saved. As soon as Jesus called, as soon as you heard the gospel and understood it, things began to change. You were ready to go with Jesus. You were down, if you would, with Jesus. And for my dear white brothers and sisters, that's down means up. You were ready to go with Jesus. It's a good word. Whatever he wanted to do, wherever he wanted to go, those of you who were born again, I don't care if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, your heart was ready, and somehow, some way, you were ready to drop whatever it was, family, friend, or foe, material things, suits, clothes, people, whatever, to follow Jesus. I cannot explain that to you, particularly since we have not seen Jesus, but something happens in the heart when you're truly born again, and you know instantaneously that you have been changed. Amen, somebody. The 12 dropped what they were doing and began to follow Jesus. There were no questions. See, when you truly get saved and the gospel thing is happening to you, you don't have a whole lot of questions. You don't have any doubts. You don't have any fears and anxieties. You just have that newfound joy that you've never had before. It is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. They didn't make excuses. They didn't say, "Let me do this one thing first." They didn't ask questions. They did not have doubts. These Christians with all of these questions. That they have for God, that they have for the Lord. It amazes me, because I never had all these questions. I don't have any questions. All I have is thanksgiving. All I have is praise. All I have is hallelujah. All I have is glory be to God. I've never had any real questions that I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven, when I'm down in my shack. I don't have any questions. I'm just glad to be born again. I'm glad to be in the number. I'm glad to be on the soul train to heaven. I'm just glad I made it in, because I'm here to tell you I could have died and gone to hell many times. In my party hardy lifestyle, almost did die. Been in hole in the wall clubs with just one way in, one way out. And if something broke loose up in there, you were stuck. going from one club to the other, hydroplaning on the highway. Could have died and gone to hell. I'm just happy to be saved. And so, ladies and gentlemen, they place their trust in Jesus, not just with their words, but with their actions. The 12 arose and followed him. And that's what true born-again Christians do. They rise up and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, we read again that when Jesus was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. No questions asked. The other folks, the wannabes, they have questions. They have doubts. They are not ready. They have an excuse. They have to say things like, well, you know, Lord Jesus, I know that you're there. I know you're the man. But now I need to go back for about 2 or 3 years and make sure my dad is taken care of because he's on his way out. I don't know how long it's going to take. But if you stay in touch with me, email me, and let me know where you are, I'll catch up with you. He didn't know who he was talking to. If Jesus came to you today with a one-way ticket for an ocean liner or a plane heading across the Pacific and said, come, get on the ship with me now, what would you do? No explanation, no destination, no future plans. You don't know how you're going to eat. You don't know whether or not you're going to have a cabin or whether or not you're going to sleep on the deck. Here's your ticket. Get on the ship now. Would you drop your life? Would you drop what you were doing and immediately follow Jesus? I hope you can answer that question in the affirmative, because that is the kind of dedication Jesus is looking for, that he requires of those who would be his disciples. Are you truly born again? Are you saved? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a difference, and there will be a difference in your response to Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus for real, everything, as the young evangelist says, everything changes, and you will be down for anything, I assure you. It is believed that the Indian missionary Sadhu Sundar Singh first penned the words of the now popular hymn that we all have sung many times down through the years. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. How about it, dear Christian friend? How about it, dear friend? Are you following Jesus? Have you made up your mind, like the songwriter, that you're not going to turn back? You're not going to take hold of the gospel plow and then turn back to the world and turn back to Egypt? Turn back to the devil like some of you are doing? You're once on fire for God. You're once excited about serving Jesus. You loved Jesus immensely. You loved his word. But when things got rough and things are not the way you want them to be, now you are throwing in the towel. In the words of Charles McKinney, you're throwing in the towel. You're contemplating quitting. You walk around listlessly, hopelessly, without any hope. Or at least you look that way on your pitiful face. You're slowly but surely turning your back on Jesus. You will have many companions on that turning back road. The Bible calls it backsliding. We used to talk about it quite a bit in the church. Such and such has backslid on God. Oh, she's backslidden. He's backslidden. Is that where you are tonight? You have taken the gospel plow in hand, and now you're turning back. You're quitting on God. You're quitting on the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. You knew something special happened that day when you got saved. Some of you, tears flowed. Some of you said you were relieved. You had a sense of relief. Some of you, your life instantly changed because you met the Master. You were touched by Jesus. And you know that you have never been the same, but now you are willing to turn back on him because you may not have a place to lay your head. Things may be hard. People don't like you anymore. Even your mother and father don't call you anymore. They don't even want you to come home because they know that you will share the gospel with your family members and friends, and they don't want to hear it. How many of you, your family knows that it's best not to invite you to a funeral because you're going to take advantage of the funeral situation to try to win people to Christ, and they don't want you to do that anymore? I told my family, there's no need for you to invite me to any funeral unless I'm going to preach the gospel, have the freedom to preach the gospel to everybody in the family. Because that's what I'll be there for. Otherwise, let the dead bury the dead. And I meant that thing. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you have never met Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, you've never been saved by the grace of God, you've never met the Master, Jesus. He's never touched your heart and saved your soul and changed your life. You don't know what you're missing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Allow me to share with you, dear friend, how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically, that ugly thing called death, that cold thing called death. We die physically because of our sins. And our body goes to a cold grave. Our soul goes to a hot hell. It's not fun and games. It's serious business. And thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are now on the road to hell. If you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about church membership. Church membership can't save you. I'm not talking to you about how that you were Christianed as a baby. That cannot save you. Before you were a Christian, you were lost and on your way to hell. And after you were a Christian, you were lost and on your way to hell. Even though as a baby, you probably, if you died as a baby, you would have gone to heaven. But you were not born again. You were still a wretched, no good sinner, like your parents. All of us are undone, the Bible says. We have sinned against God. And when you get to the age of accountability, and God knows the age, it may be 7, it may be 10, it may be 11, it may be 12. But when you know you're doing wrong, and you feel your conscience about the wrong you're doing, that's the age of accountability. And if you don't trust Christ as Savior, you will die and go to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness, Jesus said. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said it in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. That is the good news. Joining a church won't save you. Giving money to a church, giving money to a charity will not save you. Shaking the preacher's hand will not save you. Taking a chair at the church will not save you. Going through a discipleship class will not save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. It is an instantaneous thing. The criminal on the cross beside Jesus said, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thine kingdom." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Instantaneous salvation. It's not a process. Look and live, the Bible says. Look and live. Look to Jesus and live. Trust Christ as your Savior. Not man, not preachers. You don't have to give a dime to the money-grubbing preachers. This salvation is free. Look and live. Look to Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. All that is well and dandy, but that does not save your soul. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue as the evidence of your salvation. You die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. You die without Christ and go to hell. You're going to speak in more tongues than that. You're going to dance a whole lot in the flames of hell, I assure you. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. He will do it. If God can save me, a wretch undone who hated the church and hated the preachers, because my dad was a preacher, my mother was a preacher. I was raised in church. I despised the church. I hated church with a passion. I loved football and I loved women. And that's in the wrong order. I loved women and then I loved football more than I loved God and the church. I didn't want to have anything to do with the church. I was running away from the church as fast as I could. Had one foot in false religion and one foot in hell. until somebody came by and told me these words from Romans in the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. See, this was a big problem for me growing up. I heard about being saved, but nobody told me what I was being saved from. Saved to going to church endlessly, going to church all day long. Saved to that? Is that what it was about? Women wearing long dresses and men can't have any fun, and the wife controls them and so forth. Is that being saved to that? What do you mean? No one told me that I was going to be saved from the hell that as punishment for my sins. Nobody told me that I was going to be saved to heaven because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And on that night, when Michael Lewis showed me from the Bible these words, the light came on. And after years of church religion, after years of suffering in church, for hours on end, I was raised in the black church. Black folk know what I'm talking about. On my way, religious but lost, on my way to a devil's hell, 1 foot in religion, 1 foot in the grave, on my way to hell. At 19 years old, I trusted Christ as Savior based upon these words that I remember to this day. And I invite you to trust Christ as Savior today, not the church, not the money-grubbing preacher, not speaking in some unknown tongue, being spooked out of the church, running around the church, hanging from the chandeliers, all that's not necessary. Sitting down in the chair when the pastor says the doors of the church are open, that's not necessary. Right where you are, you might be on a scooter, you might be on a bike, you might be on a camel, you might be on a horse, you might be on a donkey, you might be on a treadmill, I don't know where you are, but you can pause for a minute and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and pray and ask him to save your soul, and I guarantee you, my dear friend, he will save your soul. God is more eager to save your soul than you are to be saved, I can assure you that. Because he's not willing that any should perish. I oftentimes in my mind's eye see God and Jesus sitting on the edge of their throne. Come on now, come on, I've died for you, I've done everything I could. The table is set. Trust me as your Savior. Come on preacher, come on Daniel, give it to him. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Trust Christ as Savior. That he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That's a good thing. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer as someone led me, as millions have been led to the Lord by following somebody in what we call the sinner's prayer. Have mercy, Lord, upon me, a sinner, and save my soul. That's basically what it is. So follow me in prayer, dear friend, if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior, whether you're in Russia or Paris or London, or Accra, Ghana, or Kenya, Okinawa, Japan, Hawaii, wherever you might be in the world, trust Christ as Savior today and pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have committed sins and have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you immediately. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. As so many thousands will tell you, that's exactly what we will do. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you is my prayer. There was a little miscommunication regarding the message on gluttony tonight. And so therefore, I'll be preaching that message on tomorrow if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. God bless you. Until next time, my beloved, let's all stand.
Jesus loved me.